The Alabama Crops Report Podcast, your trusted information source for Alabama agriculture.
Hey, everybody. Welcome in to another episode of the Alabama Crops Report Podcast. Scott and Simmer today. We've got the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Peanut, Chris Balkum, drove to campus just to visit with us. Chris, how's it going?
It's good to be here with y'all this morning. How about y'all?
We're good.
Yeah, thanks for joining us today.
So I guess you actually came to do a little guest lecturing.
Yeah, that was different.
On
yeah.
Peanuts?
Yeah, oh, absolutely on peanuts. I won't talk about anything else. They don't want me to talk about anything else other than peanuts.
I don't know. You could probably philosophize on some stuff they'd like to listen to.
Yeah, this gray hair, you certainly got some experience.
That's right.
Good stories.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Chris, what's going on in the peanut world right now?
Man, obviously we're still harvesting, surprisingly. You know, here we are the 1st of December and still don't have all the crop in, but hey, that's what happens when it gets stretched out. You know, we had a lot of the crop planted late, so we're just about winding down. But it's always usually tough when you get to the end and get to this time of year, and usually the rains and cooler temperatures slows everything down. So,
what percent you think we're still?
We're probably down now to under 10% now.
Oh, okay,
so we're getting close.
And so today, we don't know. We're kind of spreading these out when we post them, but today is December the 5th. So, and you know, it rained in Auburn at least last night, but it's hard to remember. There was a time when it was probably too dry to dig.
Oh yes, absolutely. You know, we've had from one extreme to the other this year, from whether it be when we started out to getting rain to then none for weeks at the time, and then from nice temperatures to 100 degrees for 2 weeks.
Yep.
So we've certainly seen everything this time.
Yeah, yeah. Where are yields going to end up? Better than last year?
Yes. Obviously, we'll be better than last year. However, you know, that was a horrible year and the worst one we'd had probably in 20 years, a little better.
Mm-hmm.
Last year was in 23. This year was not what we wanted. You know, still with as much as everything cost and our price of peanuts, we needed a good crop. All the farmers needed a good crop of peanuts, and we were better than last year, but not what we wanted.
Yeah.
We're probably last year, for instance, we were about 2,700 pounds for the state average. This year, we'll probably be 33.
What's our highest been?
4,000 pounds.
Wow.
And in 2012, we set that state record of a little over 4,000 pounds to the acre.
And since I've been here, we've hovered in that 3,500 pound range, if I remember right. So pretty close to the 5-year average.
Yeah,
then,
yeah.
So.
We it's been pretty tough here the last, you know, because it seems like our weather's been extreme ever since we had Michael in 18. All our crops, we just haven't done really well in cotton or peanuts really for our southeast region.
Yeah.
How does we fare compared to our neighboring states on those yields?
Of course, there's a lot of things that affect the yields, and as you well know, but irrigation would be the first thing you would think about. You think about Georgia, our number one peanut producing state, Alabama's number two. They're 50% irrigated on their peanuts, and you know, we probably have only 10%, 15% at the most that's irrigated. But on the other side, we have some really good soils that we grow some peanuts on, and typically high rainfall areas. You know, you take southwest Alabama, usually gets a lot of rainfall, and you know, they've been growing peanuts 20 years. They're still what we call new areas compared to the traditional belt. But that just you take last year, for instance, and we had a huge drought all the way from Mississippi that was moving from the west, creeping east. And I just had this in that slideshow, and I was talking to those students about stuff, and we talked a lot about peanuts and production and areas, and there we were 20% down in production in Mississippi last year, and Alabama and Florida were 17% down. Georgia was only 3 or 4% down. Yeah. The number one, the drought didn't go all the way over and extend into Georgia, and then number two, they got 50% irrigated. You know, so it just didn't affect them to the level that it did us.
You know, this past year we were down about 10,000 acres or so from 23.
Let's see, no, we increased acres here this time. So we come up about 10,
12,000 We were 160 last year, 170 this year.
Yeah, right? About 175, 180 okay. this time. Even at one time, they had us 185 for this year. But we're definitely going to have about 180,000 this year.
What are we going to have next year?
You know, I think we'll probably have that or more. You know, because if cotton stays at 69, 70 cent, I certainly don't see us growing that much of that. That's a good way to go broke in a hurry on the farm is continue to stay with cotton at 70 cent. We just can't survive at that. You know, we need a rotational crop, obviously. And, you know, with this being so much dry land in Alabama, cotton's always fit that. But, you know, we certainly would love to have a different one or a higher price of cotton right now to help with that.
Yeah, I was asked to give a cotton estimate for next year by Cotton Farming Magazine, I think. And I was like, well, I don't know. But like you said, in dry land, I mean, cotton is the most drought-tolerant crop that we grow, you know, at least on major acreage. So we're kind of stuck with it. Well, not stuck. It's my favorite crop, Chris. But we're blessed with that ability to be able to grow it. But certainly, yeah, peanuts are again, probably going to have to pay the bills for folks next year. Hopefully, anyway.
You know, obviously, peanuts and cotton both being indeterminate crops, they work good for our dry land and sandy type soils that we grow them in here throughout Alabama. But as a rotational crop, we've got a lot more acres of cotton. You know, we've got to, we got to go 2-1 compared to peanuts. But that hurts us also on the farm when we think about these economic times that we're in and trying to finance everything and keep the farm going. It's tough to do that at the rate we're losing it, money per acre with cotton.
Did you see that? That kind of brings it. Did you guys see that article in the South Farm Press on the peanut production or the peanut farmers losing money out of so many years of the last
20?
Years. Yeah. You know, even though we still say peanuts pays the bills.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that was something interesting that they have only been profitable just limited number of times out of all these years.
You know, everything we touch on the farm is so expensive right now, from the insurance that we have, whether it be the crop insurance, but our insurance for the farms, you know, all that continues to go up, fuel goes up, you know, just the cost of living in general is just too high for what the price of these commodities are. We just can't sustain where we're at, what we're doing right now.
Not all bad, though, Chris. Disease pressure was light in peanuts this year.
Yeah. You know, we had a little bit heavier insect pressure. You know, we had some worms, you know, which is that's odd. But I know you were happy about that. So you got to do a little work right there to get out and check the worms. But
we had Blake and Christy on the other day, and I said it then, but I got more spider mite calls in late August and September than I had gotten peanut calls my entire career. Up to that point.
And you know, I don't know what it is about that. That's you know, we've certainly been seeing more and more spider mites in cotton. But I will say, for, you know, I've been involved with peanuts my whole life, and I've worked with Auburn for over 26 years. And always historically, we only had spider mites in peanuts if we had used, you know, a cheap erythroid early in the season or something, killed off our beneficials, and it got dry late. That's the only time we've ever had spider mites. And, you know, we've seen differences in cotton with spider mites, but with peanuts this year, that was the first time I've ever seen spider mites in peanuts that were never sprayed with an insecticide.
Yeah.
And I can tell you this, too. 5 inches or 15 inches of water will not drown spider mites and kill them.
You know, part of that is it needs to be windy to blow them off the plants and that kind of stuff. But, I mean, I saw a field last year in southwest Alabama that the only reason I knew that they said they had sprayed it the week prior for mites. And I knew two main reasons I knew they did. One, I knew the consultant, and I knew what he was doing. But two, there was no webbing. And the amount of mites that were out there should have been webbing everywhere.
Yeah.
But it was just a case where they probably killed 60 or 70%. It just wasn't enough. And in a week, even though it was raining in there and there were some chances of rain, I said I would go ahead and get them again. You know, sometimes 70% is good enough, sometimes it's not.
Yeah, and it's something as dangerous as spider mites is and as detrimental as they are to the crop and their ability to kill it, we've got to do a really good job taking them out because they're going to take us out.
Yep.
And it's just a matter of trying to survive. And, you know, that's where we have to slow down, use a lot more water. And, you know, those things are up under those leaves and all, as you know, and down deep in that canopy. And you just, you know, it's easy to get those in the top, but it's hard to get those down in the canopy.
Yeah. So I guess this kind of brings us to a good question about, since you've been in this role for so long, what are some of our top challenges in peanut production in the state, you know? And I guess that my follow-up, probably you can answer later, would be, you know, what type of research projects you're doing to kind of help address some of those challenges.
Yeah. Well, you know, I would say first foremost, probably labor is always the biggest problem on the farm. You know, it doesn't matter if we back up 30, 40 years ago, or if we fast forward now. Even though as much as technology and mechanization change things, still labor's number one problem on the farm. Okay.
You need a round bell version of a peanut digger, huh?
Yeah, you know, and peanuts, that's another challenge of them is, you know, that's a two-step process.
Yep.
You know, we've got to dig them and then come back, depending on the time of year and how much sun, moisture we got, drying time, what our temperatures are, but either 3-4 days, sometimes even a week, 2 weeks later, and then make that other harvest trip of picking.
Yep.
And you know that, and both of them are slow. It's slow digging and it's slow picking, you know. And you know that turns off a lot of people off of peanuts. You know, besides having to have a lot of different equipment for them, but that process and not having the labor to be able to do that on a good bit of acres really affects that and the decisions that people make. So you know that's a big problem. You know, I would say other things on the farm more would be, you know, tomato spotted wilt virus was an issue back years ago, and that came on, and then it kind of faded, and we just didn't see much virus. You know, we developed peanut RX, obviously, and we use that to be able to have some cultural practices to defend against that, and which worked really good to get us by until we could get some varieties that had more resistance to it. And, you know, developing a variety takes 10 years at least, you know, and that's a slow process. So you got to make it through that time until you can get something with more resistance. And you know, we did. We come with some varieties that have more resistance and down the road, and we kind of forgot some, what you say about peanut RX and virus.
Yeah, you think our growers make a good use of that tool, peanut RX, and really kind of find value in that, like take, you know, do the right things to minimize the risk?
You know, obviously, I think some of our bigger growers do, you know, and even the smaller ones too. Yes, I'd say they take advantage, because the thing about it is, a big grower, he can't just plant during that optimum time. He's got a lot of acres to cover, a lot of ground to cover. That's going to take a lot of time, so he's got to start early. And even though that kind of goes against the RX, even though the planting date is one thing he's got to change, he's still going to do those other things and follow.
Mm-hmm.
So the only thing that's going to hurt him is the planting date. But one thing we can't do is we can't predict when we're going to have those thrips, when we're going to have a lot of virus, and when we're not. So sometimes our April planted peanuts are our best peanuts, highest yielding ones, you know. You know, sometimes they could be the worst. You know, sometimes we could be heavy virus, have a lot of pressure. But then on the same token, we've got a lot of smaller guys that doesn't, not as big acreage wise, and hey, look, they try to plant at that prime planting time, which right there the middle of May or the first, second week of May. You know, this year was different because during this planting season, we really were in good shape early. We warmed up, we could get in the field and started, and then we got to the 10th of May and it started raining. And it didn't quit raining until the 24th of May.
Yep.
Yeah.
So there we had 2 weeks that had nothing happen, and that wasn't just in Alabama, that's how these corn, that was in Georgia, Florida, and Alabama. I mean, that was a big area. And there, that's 1.2 million acres of the peanuts. We don't have but 1.7 million in the United States.
Yeah.
So that really affected the amount of peanuts. And that's the other reason why you see so much still harvesting here late, trying to get in these later peanuts that was planted.
And maybe that helped some people. You know, you think about it was, what, May it rained, June it didn't, July it did, August
none in August,
and then
nowhere.
September it rained.
Yeah. So we set a lot of peanuts in September, so that, you know, that was a good thing and a bad thing.
Pushing that late planting date kind of
that helped set a crop on those later peanuts that we didn't have because we were just too dry during that summer. Okay, so we set a crop with that September rain because a lot of us got 15 inches during that
Yeah.
You know, that changed it and turned that around from a drought right there during that time. Made those peanuts go back to blooming and fruiting and setting a crop. Now, what it did bother was those earlier planted peanuts we was harvesting in September. Yep. So that was a problem. Mm-hmm. So number one, it was a problem because it rained us out and we couldn't harvest right then. Or number two, we had them dug and then they laid there for a long time. And then getting 15 inches, it washed some of them slam out of the field because it had rained so much. So that was different than what we had seen. Yeah. You know, it was like one extreme. We was dry, and then the next month we get 15 inches. But one other thing we saw was our quality was down there then. So those earlier planted peanuts, our quality was off and not as good. We had a little more aflatoxin there. There's a lot more hot loads of peanuts that we needed to clean and try to pick through to clean those up and increase our quality. And as we got closer and a little bit later into the season, that got us to a little bit better crop. And but the problem was when we got to that, you know, and we got more of those peanuts, it affected us in another way because we had set those other peanuts on there late, so we had two wide ranges of peanuts. Mm-hmm. You know, we couldn't harvest both of those at one time. And we just couldn't get that to grade out. So, you know, it really killed us on our grades then, and we went to grading poorly. And, you know, that added up to a lot of money. And, you know, when you think about $5 a grade point, mm-hmm. and you're running, instead of being in the low 70s, mid 70s, to even upper 70s, what we saw early is it turned around there, and then we were grading 60, 50s.
Wow.
You know, that added up a lot of money per acre because getting those other rains, it put some more pounds on there and increased our yields. But it still, in turn, killed us by the grade. You know, some people were losing $150 an acre in grade alone, you know.
What's the peanut price today?
I think it's still around 5.25 per ton, 550 a ton.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I was just curious. I think I asked we were talking about cotton one time, what does it take to break even?
Mm-hmm.
What is it on the peanut side?
Well, obviously right now we would need more than that, and it's going to just depend on your yield. Obviously, if you know, you're just trying to set a certain price, you know, because our yield, we've got a wide range. Mm-hmm. You know, we can't control that. We obviously all want to make 2 tons, but sometimes you can't. You know, we got guys making 3 tons, we got guys making 1,000 pounds. You know, we're all over the board when you think about across the state and the rainfall in the areas, what they had to endure during the growing season this year. And then it may have been during that time they were ready to dig and they got that 15 inches of rain and couldn't get back out there until way late. And then we disease come in and onset and the wet weather and we just lost the crop in the field. When you think about price, peanuts and cotton, they kind of compete with each other on acres when you think about price, but really not much competition when you think about 70-cent cotton. You know, obviously 525 is better than that, but is that enough for us to break even? If we're making 2 tons, maybe 2.5, but when we're making where we're going to wind up, no, it ain't enough. You know, 3,000 pounds won't get it done at 525.
So even with our state average,
you know,
we're losing money. Yeah. So whatever that 33,
that's right. 34. Yeah. If we're making 525 a ton and making 3,300 pounds, 3,400, that ain't enough.
Hmm. Well, Chris, without downing cotton, tell me something good.
Hey, well, yeah, it's almost Christmas.
What are some of the research stuff you've been working on, you know, to kind of look at different things in peanut science?
Well, obviously, you know, we like to look at the varieties. We've got a lot of new stuff out there, more and more seeds becoming available, some of these newer varieties. So, you know, as many looks at those that we can get in different growing regions, you know, because we got different pressures out there across the state. We got a wide range across the state of Alabama and the kind of disease pressure that's out there and the rainfall that we get, you know, and the soil types that we have. But it's good that we've got a lot of varieties available to us. You know, the peanut breeders across the U.S. have really done a good job turning out some more tools, per se, for us to pick through in our toolbox to say, hey, this one will work good over here. This one will work better over here. And so we do a lot of work with the varieties. That's always a big thing to look at. Another thing is seeding rates. You know, we've had the standard 6 seed per foot as our seeding rate for a long time, and we continue to look at that and to see where we're going. Can we make more and more seed? you know,
so
make that pay.
On the seeding rate, mm-hmm. and this is something I learned when I started doing planter work over there in Georgia, that even though our recommendation is that 6 seeds, so that way, even if you have 4 plants per, you know, foot,
that's adequate, yeah.
you're adequate, you know, so you're kind of already 2 seeds more.
Mm-hmm.
But most of our growers were planting 7, 8, up to 10.
Yeah.
You know, and that, and our kind of goal was to help with some of the planter setup technology, all that. Hey, if we mm-hmm. can just do a good job of, how much is that happening here in Alabama?
You know, we don't see as many of those planting up there that high. Hey, do we see 7 and 8? Sometimes, yes. You know, sometimes seed quality determines that for us to increase that. And sometimes conditions, you know, sometimes, hey, if we're out there planting early, but like I say, we got those big growers, you know, a little bit more seed helps us ensure we got a little bit more plants per foot. You know, if you get some seedling disease in there, we're going to thin that stand immediately. So, you know, sometimes we're going to plant a little bit heavier. We don't have perfect conditions. We're going to increase that seeding rate. You know, as we get later in the season, we warm up, we got good conditions, good soil moisture, we cut that seeding rate back. You know, we may go down to 5, you know. So, that, you know, that'll vary.
Does the seeding rate vary by variety too, or have you looked at some of that, or
not really? No, not really. When you think about the seeds, does the poundage per acre vary by variety? Absolutely. Are peanuts sold by the seed or by the pound? By the pound. Does that make a difference per acre? Absolutely.
That was something hardest for me to grab my head around when I start working in peanuts, and I get a call from a county agent or something like, hey, we're trying to get this planted. And I'm like, okay, what are you doing? I'm like, we're trying to plant so many pounds per acre. And I'm like, well, how many seeds is that? You know, what is the planter doing? They're like, well, it's putting out this many pounds. And I'm like, you're throwing me off here, because I'm used to corn, cotton, or soybean, yeah. You know, where like, yeah, so many seeds per foot.
Yeah. So, you know, and another thing we do besides the seeding rates, we're looking at, you know, different seed treatments. You know, there's always companies coming up trying to have something new and improved. So we're going to take a look at those different seed treatments and see how they perform. And, you know, we continue to look at cover crops and them over time to see how we've changed the soil and see how that compares to our conventional type seed bed of maybe turned land or rip embedded or something, you know.
What percent of our peanut growers utilize cover crops, you think?
You know, I would say it's probably a lower number in peanuts than it is other crops. You know, they feel a lot more comfortable out there strip tilling cotton and mm-hmm. corn than they do peanuts.
There's the positive.
You know, so, you know, if cotton's helped with conservation, it's done that.
Yeah. But no, I'm saying peanuts,
yeah,
it's
were a positive,
not using,
you know,
cover crops. Yeah,
yeah,
there's the positive.
Yeah, that's right. So.
But a lot of it is strip tilled, though, right? Is that what you said?
A lot of, not as many peanuts are strip tilled as they are in cotton,
okay,
and corn.
Okay.
You know, people still like, some people still like to break the land, turn the land on peanuts. I feel like they got a better chance for a higher yield. You know, and you got to begin with, if you was in a equal type soil that hasn't been in a mm-hmm. conservation program, you probably will make a higher yield with it if it rains. But you know, when you're in a 10-15% irrigated situation, you can't control the rain, can you? So, you know, why do they continue to do that? They're just trying to do some of the things to make the highest yield. Probably turn would give the best in that situation. But if they can get past that and get to a few years of just doing a conservation program throughout their farm and continuing to plant the peanut strip till like they are the cotton and the corn, they'll get to that point. You know, and then that yield will equalize between, say, a turned and a strip till situation.
Oh, okay. That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what, well, I guess you shared all this information, obviously, at the peanut meetings and everything, and then a lot of this is kind of supported by Alabama Peanut Producer Association, so kind of
yes,
shout
yes.
out to them, you know. So we'll have those meetings coming up here in the winter.
Yeah, oh. the grower support for that and the checkoff dollars that they take from theirs on selling the peanuts, we turn around and put it a lot, you know, a lot goes to research and promotion, and you know, we certainly have done our part over the years as far as researchers to increase the capability of those farmers to be able to make higher yields on their farm. We've seen that over time. If you look, you know, how we've increased the U.S. peanut yield, you know, through the length of that program of all the research that's happened. So that's certainly been a benefit to help keep them in business. But that's something we have to continue to do because things change over time. And like you say, we're in another battle right now. You know, we really need to make more peanuts per acre than what we're making now where the prices are, you know. But we just can't control all those factors. So, but we certainly appreciate the producers for supporting us and supplying those checkoff dollars and through the Alabama Peanut Producers Association to give us an opportunity to try to help them because, look, us as researchers, that's what we're here to do. We're here to help the farmers. We're working for them. And we got to keep them in business for us to have a place and a job, too. And that's what we want to do.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's one thing I guess I always like about my job anyway. A lot of research or whatever we do is directly, you can go have a conversation with a grower and like, hey, this is what we found in our, and that's something they can take to their farm and, that's way satisfying kind of in a way that what we're doing is kind of helping, our growers one way or the other.
Absolutely. I would say my 26 years working, the best part of my job has been the 50% research extension side, to be able to go out into the field during the summertime and the grower's got a problem and to be able to help him figure out what's going on and help make a difference and an impact right here on his farm that day.
Yep.
That's the most rewarding thing there is.
Yeah. So coming into 2025, what are some of your thoughts, recommendations, or any other information you want to share with our growers, audience,
Well, I certainly wish I had a crystal ball. That would make things easier, wouldn't it? But, who knows what we're going to do? I know some of the guys relied, heavy on peanuts this year. Tough times call for tough measures. And, everybody wants to rotate and keep their same rotation and the benefits of that. We all know the importance of that. And at the same time, they got to try to survive and keep the farm together, too. And to do that, sometimes they may have to plant the best crop back to back. They may have to plant peanuts again this year. I don't know what the price is going to be.
That's why they
may be $600 or may be $500. But, we don't know where the other prices of the other commodities are either, and how much our inputs are. Inputs still going to be as high as what they are right now, what we saw these past 2 years? I don't know.
Yeah.
So that's why you were expecting our peanut acreage to go up a little bit more?
Yes.
What's our how high can we go?
Well, I'll say this. So we had about 180,000 acres of peanuts this year, and that was scattered out in about 30 counties of the 67 in Alabama. And when I started that 26 years ago, we used to grow 220,000 acres in 12 counties in Alabama. So, we probably got some room. We could plant some more if we needed to.
Yeah.
We always talk about with cotton, we start approaching 500,000 and we're really starting to put it on some marginal ground. But peanuts, I just didn't know how much we got. I know like the guys in Northeast Alabama can grow some really good peanuts, but they can't always get them out, or it's very challenging to get them out. So I just wondered how much of that is out there. But
those soil types certainly play a role in it. And and the other thing, when you think about acreages and coming up on 25 and you think about peanuts and cotton, think about that acreage of cotton in Alabama and you think about now how much is moved, how much is in that southern region of Alabama, and that's predominantly the peanut belt. And, so if you were to get a big peanut in acres, it'd probably come down there.
That's right. All right. Well, anything else we need to cover, Chris?
And whatever y'all want to do.
Well, we appreciate your time, you coming in to visit with us. And in the now roaming Alabama Crops Report studios, we had to make a little last-minute move with our recording room, but that was okay. Simmer enjoyed it. And everybody, as we always say, if anybody has any topics or conversations that we need to have, please let us know. We'd be glad to talk about whatever y'all want to hear. And as always, if any of us can ever help, please don't hesitate to reach out and let us know.
The Alabama Crops Report is a production of the Alabama Cooperative Extension System.